welcome along to this week's Assist, sponsored by Free Super Tips. I'm Warren Ashurst, and I'm joined this week by Mark Langdon and Tom McGarry to look ahead to what another packed weekend of Premier League and EFL action. It's the final round of fixtures, of course, in the Football League regular season, and the race for Europe in the Premier League is very much hotting up. We'll reflect and look ahead to that in big detail in a moment or so's time. But we can't let this week pass without talking about the Champions League semi-finals, which have taken place on Tuesday and Wednesday. Mark, we'll start with Arsenal because of the tough test that they've got ahead of them now after that defeat against PSG. What did you make of the performance at the Emirates?
I thought it was a performance of two halves almost. First, or almost, it was like three thirds, really, because I thought the first third of the game, Paris Saint-Germain were much better than Arsenal. The early goal, you know, gave them confidence, rocked Arsenal. They looked really uncomfortable in that first sort of 20, 25 minutes particularly. Grew into the game. By the start of the second half, they were sort of gaining territory on Paris Saint-Germain. A lot of kind of longer balls. They were going direct and sort of, using their physicality to get sort of over the top of Paris. They were struggling to play through them. And I felt like at that moment, you know, they looked the more likely to go and get an equaliser rather than Paris get the second goal. Donnarumma made two, top saves as well to keep it at 1-0. There was the Marino offside goal that was marginal and, you know, at set pieces, Arsenal did look a threat. And then last 15 minutes, PSG, you know, could have scored that second goal. Barcola shot wide and then Ramos hit the bar. So I think PSG just about deserved to take that one goal advantage. And when we're looking at kind of what that means, like, I can see Arsenal scoring in the French capital. Aston Villa did that. Liverpool did that. I just don't see Arsenal keeping a clean sheet either against that sort of really slick PSG front three and the midfield that they've got. So a tall order now for Arsenal. I think they needed to make the most of home advantage. I'd be surprised if they qualify for the final now.
Are you in agreement, Tom? Do you think it's too big a hill for them to climb now?
Yeah, I mean, they're still in it. It's only a one-goal deficit and we're at half-time in the tie, effectively. So they can still believe. They've still got the quality Arsenal. They showed that against Real Madrid over two legs in the quarterfinals. But this PSG team, for me, just feels like it's getting better and better. They were almost knocked out of the competition, weren't they, in the league phase. But since then, I mean, we're impressive against Liverpool, impressive in part against Aston Villa, although Villa almost managed to get themselves back into that tie. And I thought they were really good, the better team for me, on Tuesday night. So it's going to be very difficult for Arsenal. I kind of agree with Mark. I think they can get on the score sheet, but stopping PSG, a PSG side in full flow from netting, will be really difficult. So, yeah, maybe a draw on the night next week, but of course that would be enough to take PSG through.
What a game on Wednesday night, Mark. 3-3 between Barcelona and Inter Milan. I mean, we've said before about Inter probably going under the radar and how well they defend normally, but nobody could have predicted they'd go to Barcelona and score three goals.
No, I didn't fancy them for three goals. And the first two goals were brilliant goals, weren't they? The Marcus Thuram's back heel flick and then the finish from Dumfries was just remarkable, really, to go 2-0 up so soon. But Barcelona after that were just sensational. I'm sure I'll let Tom talk about Lamine Yamal and he's brilliant. But all of their play was, I just watching it thinking, it felt Pink Guardiola kind of Barcelona, didn't it, again? Sort of really enjoyed watching them. And then on the way into work this morning, I had to remind myself that Barcelona didn't win because I was so pleased with how they played. And I was like, hold on, it finished 3-3. And they were, Mkhitaryan sort of toenail away from, winning the game Inter. So all to play, I don't want to go in cliche territory, but all to play for in the second leg. I think the way that Barcelona play, that progressiveness will be enough to get them through, and that just the way that they dominate matches. But set pieces, Inter did it against Bayern, they did it against Barcelona. But Lautaro Martinez, I think he came off injured, didn't he? If he doesn't play that second leg, I just think that there's sort of star quality maybe lacking in the Inter ranks. And maybe it's just me, but I just desperate for a Barca PSG final. I mean, that would be just spectacular, I think, if those
across the face of the competition, it would probably be the deserved final in terms of the two teams. Tom, we mentioned there, or Mark briefly touched upon Lamine Yamal. I mean, he is some talent. And also got to mention Rafinha as well, who I thought at stages was outstanding last night. They could just, even though it's at the San Siro, just have the edge, Barca, because of their attacking threat, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. They're always good for a couple of goals, really, aren't they, wherever they play. And Lamine Yamal, the goal he scored to get it back to 2-1, then the effort he had a few minutes after that, that Jan Sommer managed to somehow push onto the top of the crossbar. An absolutely generational talent, really, isn't he? I mean, the stats, he's at his age, his tender age, he's ahead of where Messi was, he's ahead of where Cristiano Ronaldo was. So not bigging him up too much, although I am. I mean, the world is really his oyster, isn't it? And yeah, it was, I mean, the goals. I mean, four of those goals, I mean, the first two for Inter Milan, Yamal strike, and even Rafinha's, even the fact that it came off the crossbar, hit Jan Sommer and goes down as an own goal. That was still a phenomenal strike, and then the one he had after that as well. So, I mean, yeah, it was just a game of just utter world-class quality that was befitting of this late stage of the Champions League.
Yep, and we would hope that the second legs are of a similar fashion as well. We'll turn our attentions now, as promised, to the weekend, and we'll start off as ever with the big match in the Premier League. And this week's big match comes at 4:30 on Sunday. It is Chelsea against Liverpool at Stamford Bridge. And as far as the prices are concerned, Chelsea 11-10 to claim the victory. Liverpool 21-10 and is 27-10 the draw. Chelsea unbeaten in four league games now, Mark, and arguably you could say it's probably a good time for them to play Liverpool off the back of the title being sealed.
Yeah, I mean, on the face of it, you think, well, Chelsea have got a Thursday game and Liverpool have had a free week. But, I mean, I'm sure Liverpool have probably worked harder in their week, sort of in nightclubs and bars of Merseyside, than what Chelsea will have to do in the Europa Conference League on Thursday night in Sweden. Always, when a team wins a title, there's nearly always a drop-off. The motivation's there for Chelsea. I know you've mentioned there that, they're in decent form. It doesn't feel like it to me, though. No. When I'm watching them play, they don't... I'm not sort of looking at a side that I think, really fancy them to finish in the top five. Fans are not that happy with Maresca. Cole Palmer has been struggling for form, particularly in the sort of goal scoring sort of criteria. I mean, I still think he's a good player and is an important member of the team, but you take the goals away, and that's a lot of what he was all about when he was absolutely flying for Chelsea. So they're in good form, Chelsea, but I sort of say that the results have been better than performances.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I was quite surprised, Tom, when I looked at the stats, that you've got to go back to 2018 for the last time that Chelsea beat Liverpool at Stamford Bridge in the league. But as we've already alluded to there, it might well be the best time to face Liverpool, and it might be a good time to end that run.
Yeah, I think we'll probably know within the first 10, 15 minutes or so on Sunday exactly how Liverpool are approaching this game. As Mark mentioned, I'm sure they've enjoyed their week, celebrated finally sealing the title, although we all knew it was only a matter of time before they did do that. And it'll be interesting to see how Arne Slot approaches it. I mean, Liverpool are out of all the other cup competitions, so he doesn't particularly need to rotate. I still think it'll be a strong lineup. And Chelsea papering over the cracks slightly, as you guys have suggested, in terms of their recent results. I mean, they edged past Everton, needed two late goals to beat Fulham, and in recent home games, they've lost to Legia Warsaw in the Conference League and only drew at home with Ipswich. So, a decent on paper Chelsea, particularly at home, but I don't think that does tell the whole story. And maybe Liverpool, if they're 70-80% at their best, I still think they might be capable of getting something. They've got the best away record in the Premier League, and they've won their previous three against Chelsea and unbeaten in 10 against the Blues. So they've certainly got a bit of a hoodoo over them at the moment.
In terms of what we've discussed already, Mark, and with Liverpool having won the title and Chelsea, hard to call really at the moment, how do you play this then if you're having a bet on the game? I mean, is it one of those where, as Tom's sort of suggested, you maybe sort of see the first 5 or 10 minutes and play in play a little bit?
I tend to avoid these type of games, has to be said, because you're betting you're betting on unknowns, really, like with Liverpool, particularly at this stage. You know, will Slot keep the same 11, or will, you know, an RV Elliott that, you know, has been training well and, you know, probably hasn't as many minutes as he would like, is this an opportunity to sort of give some of those players sort of minutes to kind of feel like they're more part of the squad? That's hard to know. How much that, you know, that they've been celebrating? Can they refocus? Do they care? I actually think that a sort of big game away at Chelsea will focus the minds more than if they were, say, a mid-table team away from home, because it's still Chelsea. There's, you know, bad blood, I think, you know, for particularly between the supporters. They had those classic games, not to watch, but in terms of tension in the Champions League, wasn't it? Benitez and Mourinho butted heads so many times. So I'm sure that Liverpool will be up for it from that point of view. But in terms of the bet, I've just gone for the, you know, in terms of a tip here, gone for the draw. I've no doubt that there will be some ease off from Liverpool. It's just sort of nature, really, to not be as focused. But, you know, Chelsea, 1-0 against Everton, 1-0 against Tottenham, 1-0 against Leicester. They're just involved in so many tight games. And even when they've won, it's been late on, you know, at Fulham, as Tom mentioned earlier on. So, yeah, I can't sort of back them with any confidence. So that a draw is where I'm heading. And Chelsea have got a really difficult run in. We haven't mentioned that. But in this top five battle, Liverpool, Newcastle and Forest among their final fixtures, that's not easy.
No, definitely isn't. What about you, Tom? What's your suggested bet for this game?
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think this will be quite a tight, potentially a low scoring game as well. It's one of those maybe that you're watching on your Sunday afternoon, you find yourself dozing off on the sofa as the first half goes. But hopefully that's not the case from a neutral point of view. Yeah, so it could easily be a draw, but I've decided to lean slightly towards Liverpool in the draw no bet market. Their odds against, which I think it gives them a little bit of decent value for me. Their record, as we've mentioned, against Chelsea over recent times is really good. And I just think, yeah, a 75-80% Liverpool focused team is still probably better than Chelsea's. And not mention Chelsea's tough running that's coming up. It could be a bit of a difficult end of the season all around domestically for Enzo Maresca's team.
Okay, just a reminder that the big match, Chelsea against Liverpool, is a 4:30 kickoff on Sunday. We'll turn our attentions now to the rest of the Premier League fixtures over the weekend. Just to remind you that we are recording this prior to Thursday night's game, that game in hand for Nottingham Forest in their battle for Europe as they take on Brentford. So we'll start off with Friday's fixture at 8 o'clock at the Etihad Stadium as Manchester City play host to Wolves. City are as short as 3-1 on to win this game. It's 15-2 Wolves, and the draw is 17-4. Tom, we keep saying this week in, week out now, that City seem to be getting some rhythm. They've got that FA Cup victory, of course, against Forest last week. News this week that Rodri's back in full training as well. Is everything rosy again in the Etihad Garden?
Maybe, although it's one of those we've been lulled into thinking this on numerous occasions over the last few months. But this is probably City at their most consistent over the last few weeks. 4 wins in a row and beaten in 7 in all competitions. They are facing, though, a Wolves side that are in even better form. 6 wins in a row. I mean, what a job Vitor Pereira has done at Molineux. Slightly under the radar as well to move them so far clear of the relegation zone. The caveat with the Wolves' run of victories is they've all been against sides in the bottom half of the standings. And this will be a step up, obviously, against the Manchester City side that still have so much to play for in the race for the Champions League positions. As you say, a bit of a feel-good factor for City as well, with Rodri returning to training. I think Erling Haaland's back in first-team training as well. So plenty of positivity for them. They've won 8 of the last 9 against Wolves. Not surprising, given this is Manchester City. So I think City will win this game. And I've gone for over 3.5 goals in the match as well. You know, 9 of the last 10 meetings between these two sides have had at least 3 goals, and City won last season's corresponding fixture 5-1. So two informed sides with plenty of attacking talent. I'm seeing goals, but if it's fire against fire, then for me, there's only one winner, and that's City.
Yeah, I'm tending to think that this might be a bit of an open game, Mark, with both teams potentially thinking they can just go for it.
Yeah, well, I disagree. I'm going to go for City to win and under 3.5 goals. I mean, Wolves have got nothing to play for as such, but It was the same at Old Trafford, recently, and you know that was a defensively solid performance from them, but it wasn't glittering in the final third. They didn't have many shots in that game, and I don't think that Pereira will go to the Etihad and just be wide open. I think he'll sort of take pride in the performance and look to keep things tight, which is what they are capable of doing. And as far as City are concerned, but apart from the game against Palace, I don't see them clicking into top gear too often, despite the wins. And I think Guardiola is definitely focused on them trying to be tougher to beat. Saw the team he picked against Forest for the FA Cup game. That was all about midfield control and making sure that they weren't countered upon. So I can see City winning, but under 3.5 goals. So me and Tom going against each other in this one.
Okay, well, we'll move on to Saturday's fixtures now. And we'll start off with the early kickoff, which is at Villa Park. Aston Villa taking on Fulham. Villa are 8-11 to claim the victory. It's 7-2 Fulham and 14-5 the draw. It's crunch time now, Mark, in terms of the European spots. And this looks like a must-win game for Villa if they're going to finish in the top five.
Yeah, they had a bad sort of end to the week, didn't they? Sort of last week with the Man City sort of losing in the last minute. And then real no-show in the FA Cup semi-final, well beaten by Crystal Palace. I think they will have had time to clear their heads from that. I'm going for Villa to win. They've been very good at Villa Park, sort of certainly in sort of recent times. And they were previously, weren't they, under Emery. Won 6 in a row. That includes matches against Newcastle, Nottingham Forest and Chelsea. Before that, they drew with Liverpool as well. And yeah, Fulham have got something to play for because European spots might go down to 8th. It depends on kind of who wins what, and Fulham will be Man City fans in terms of the FA Cup final to try to get that 8th spot. So I think Fulham will be trying, but I this is a massive game, as you say, for Aston Villa, and I think they'll have enough in the final third to get the win.
I think there's an argument to be said, Tom, that this scenario up front with the chopping and changing of Rashford and Watkins in particular might not have done Villa many favours over the last couple of weeks. But Rashford's now injured. There's a chance that he might miss the rest of the season. Is that maybe going to help with the full focus on Ollie Watkins to deliver the goals?
Possibly. It makes it a little bit easier for Unai Emery to select his starting lineup. I think the addition of Rashford and Marco Asensio in January has helped Villa overall, having more attacking options. But maybe for these last few games, yeah, simplicity might be the key. I agree with Mark. I think Villa will win this game. They've had a week to lick their wounds after that FA Cup no-show. And I think that their minds will be refocused. They've got that out of their system. And yeah, they should have too much for Fulham. They've won the last 4 meetings between these two sides as well. So they know how to beat Marco Silva's team. And Fulham, consistently inconsistent, aren't they? They're having a good season, but yeah, they've had one or two iffy performances and results of late, just about scraped past Southampton last time out. But they've only won back-to-back Premier League games once since November. And I can't see them doing that by winning this game. I think Villa will be too strong. 1 clean sheet in 7, though, for Villa. And that came against Southampton, which doesn't say too much in fairness. But yeah, so they might concede, but Villa should win the game.
OK, well, there's just 2 matches kicking off at 3 in the Premier League, and we'll start off with a game at Goodison Park. It's the penultimate match at Goodison before they move to their new stadium. Everton 12-25 to collect the win. It's 11-2 Ipswich and 16-5 the draw. Tom, we'll start with you with this one. Overall, it seems to point towards a home win, bearing in mind Ipswich are now relegated as well.
Well, that's exactly what I thought when I started looking at this game. I was like, yeah, this is probably going to be an Everton victory. But then you started looking into their recent results. They actually haven't been that great at Goodison over recent weeks in terms of wins. They haven't won any of their last 6 at home, but they've had some tough fixtures in that run. Manchester City, Manchester United, Liverpool, Arsenal. They drew with Liverpool and Arsenal. So, yeah, there's been some okay results mixed in there, despite the fact they've not been picking up many victories. Ipswich, yeah, on paper, Everton should win this game. But I'm actually looking at both teams to score for this one, which is around about evens. I think, you know, Ipswich have been better away from home than they have at home this season. They've obviously got scoring quality, particularly Liam Delap, who I was reading earlier on, has actually been linked with Everton as well as everyone else in the Premier League, it would seem, ahead of a summer move. So I could see Ipswich getting on the score sheet in this game. They won at Bournemouth at the start of April, and they got that draw I mentioned earlier on away at Chelsea. So that, so they're capable of performing on the road, but yeah, maybe a score draw, something like that. But I'm looking at both teams to score.
We're speaking to an Evertonian in our office, Mark, a little bit earlier on, who was, I was making a point to, that they couldn't have hoped for two better last home games, Ipswich and Southampton, still to come before they say bye to Goodison.
Yeah, I mean, the fans will be expecting 6 points. I think the Southampton game next week, or whenever it is, I think it might be a couple of weeks' time, is the easier of those two opportunities. I actually think Everton are a bit short for this game. I think Ipswich have known they've been down for ages, really. So I don't think they'll be dispirited by relegation. I mean, it was just like the final nail, really, last week. Everton have scored 6 goals in 8 games. So that just makes me nervous about backing Everton to win. I'm going to go for the draw.
Okay. Well, the other game at 3 o'clock is two teams who, of course, are well and truly gone and looking forward to the Championship next season, is Leicester 20, Southampton 9-5, and the draw 12-5. I have to say, Mark, when I looked at the prices, I was tempted by Southampton because I genuinely think they've been a better team than Leicester over the last 6 or 7 weeks.
I mean, this will be a good game for those that have been saying that for, well, I'd say even longer than 6 or 7 weeks, really. You get a chance to prove the theory correct. Yeah, I mean, if I was to pick a winner out of the two, I'd sort of edge towards Southampton, draw, no bet. I'm going to go for another draw, so I don't know if that's 3 so far, but it's hard to fancy Leicester. Totally agree with what you're saying there, Warren. Southampton don't win very many matches of football. That's the problem. They've been a bit better under Rusk since he sort of took over last couple of games. 1 point and they kind of eclipsed that real problem around their neck of Derby's 11 points. So I think that's the first target they've got. So if they say they're drawing after 65, 70 minutes, are they going to be pushing for the win? That would be my question mark for anyone back in Southampton. But I would edge towards them out of the two relegated sides.
I think, Tom, it's 9 home league games without a goal now for Leicester. And at least Southampton have found the back of the net a bit more regularly in recent weeks.
Yeah, they have. And I'm one of those. I've been beating the drum for a good few weeks now that Southampton are better than Leicester, even if the points totals over the course of the season say different. And yeah, Mark mentioned the bet. Southampton draw, no bet for me is the way to go. It's odds against. And yeah, Southampton drew with West Ham recently and lucky really to lose to Fulham last time out. And their only away victory this season was against the other side that have been relegated, Ipswich. So maybe they can do some kind of weird double, if you like, and win at the King Power as well. They've scored in 7 of their last 8 away games, which, you know, if they score in this one, you mentioned 9 home games without scoring for Leicester, 1 might be enough for Southampton. Mm-hmm. This could end up being a weird game that ends up finishing 4-3 or something like that. I mean, it's two sides that have had dreadful seasons, might just, you know, let loose a little bit. But yeah, for me, Southampton, just about, they certainly offer a bit of value.
Okay, well, the 5:30 game on Saturday is at the Emirates Stadium when Arsenal entertain Bournemouth. It's 21-20 Arsenal, 23-10 Bournemouth, and the draw 13-5. What's your suggested tip here, Tom?
Yeah, Mark's picking out draws for his tips. I seem to be going down the draw no bet market quite often for this week's action. I've gone Bournemouth draw no bet for this one. They won the reverse fixture, and maybe they could do the double over Arsenal. I mean, against that is the fact they've never won away to Arsenal in their history in any competition, whether at the Emirates or at Highbury. But this has got to be one of the most perfect times to be facing Arsenal, right in the middle of that Champions League semi-final tie with PSG. Surely Mikel Arteta is going to rest one or two of his big hitters, rotate his starting lineup with one eye on that trip to the Parc des Princes next Wednesday. And Bournemouth, like we mentioned with Fulham earlier on, still have something to play for. The potential 8th might get them into Europe for the first time in their history. And yeah, I think they're capable of getting a result from this game. I mean, Arsenal, just to further underline, they're 5 points clear of Newcastle in 3rd. They're well clear in the race to get into the Champions League next season. I don't think they're going to get dragged into that. So they can afford, if you like, to take their eye off the ball slightly and focus on the PSG game. And Bournemouth capable of capitalising.
I mean, I can understand totally what Tom's saying there. And I do think, obviously, they'll have more than one eye on PSG, Mark. But just to me, I'm quite surprised that Arsenal are odds against at home.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting price, isn't it? Because it depends how many changes Arteta makes. I think most fans would say rest everyone, but most managers don't tend to do that. And I'm not sure that they see it that way. I think sometimes they like continuity and the players actually need topping up. And you can go kind of, if you go too long without playing, then you're out of fitness almost. So what I would say is that Arsenal didn't beat Brentford in a similar situation that they had a couple of weeks ago in between the Real Madrid matches. I'm going to go for Marino to score first at 9-1. So look, if he doesn't play and or if he's on the bench and there's a goal before he comes on, then you get your money back. But if he starts up front, you got 9-1 about the Arsenal striker. He's got 7 goals in his last 14 games, nearly scored from midfield against PSG in midweek. And I was just wondering whether Arteta might use him up front just to get him back in the rhythm of playing as the centre forward, because he went back to midfield because of Partey's suspension in midweek. I expect him to play up front against Paris Saint-Germain because Partey will be back for that game. And he might just get a run out in that position here. And like I say, if he doesn't, you're more than likely going to get your money back anyway.
Well, there are 3 more games to look forward to on Sunday in the Premier League. We've already, of course, touched upon the 4:30 match. These 3 games are all at 2:00, and we'll start off with a game between Brentford and Manchester United. Brentford 3-5 to claim the victory here. It's 4-1 Manchester United and 31-10 the draw. And I think probably the whole scenario with United being in the Europa League and their recent run of form, Mark, suggests why they're as big as 4-1 to win this game.
Yeah, look, I think it's too big. I would suggest backing Manchester United at 4-1. We know they'll make changes. We know that the Europa League is more important. We know they've been rubbish all season. But 4-1 to win at Brentford. Like, if you look at we've got a similar game on Sunday as well between West Ham and Tottenham. And it's something like West Ham 6-5, 2-1 Tottenham. And then we go to Brentford against Man United and was it 3-5 and 4-1? Maybe Brentford are playing on Thursday as well, let's not forget.
Yeah.
Look, there's a lot of reasons to not want to back Manchester United, but at 4-1, I think it's at least a price worthy of interest. I would not be advising anyone to back Brentford. I think it's absolutely fine to go no bet in this game. You can't quite work it out. But I'd just say don't back Brentford.
Yeah, it's tricky at this stage of the season, Tom, when teams have got European semi-finals, of course, and they're trying to fit in midweek games as well, like Brentford are on Thursday. But it does seem like a massive price.
It does. And, 4-1 on Manchester United, it's tempting, isn't it? And it was one I kept drawing my eye and looking back at it. But delving into the stats, Manchester United, setting aside the fact this is in between the two legs against Athletic Bilbao in the Conference League, they've only, before the first leg in Bilbao, they've only won one of their 8 away games across all competitions. That was against Leicester. 2 points from their last 5 in the Premier League, home or away. They're a side that are out of form domestically. They're not even thinking really about the Premier League, are they? I don't think they're really interested in the race to not finish 17th, if you like. It's all eggs in the Europa League basket. So, even at 4-1, I've stayed clear of that. I've gone for over 2.5 goals in the match and both teams to score. I mean, United have been involved in some high-scoring games, particularly the 2 legs against Lyon in the Europa League quarter-final. And for Brentford, still just about in that European race, particularly if they can beat Nottingham Forest on Thursday evening. But the firepower they have, Brian Mbeumo, Johan Visser, both scoring at regular intervals throughout the season. So I think they'll score. I think Manchester United score could be an entertaining game, but because of the prices and Manchester United's poor form, I couldn't really go for a winner either way.
Okay, well, we'll move on to the next game, which is at the Amex Stadium as Brighton take on Newcastle. Also at 2:00, Brighton are 9-5 to collect the victory. It's 13-10 Newcastle and 13-5 the draw. Tom, it was dramatic the way that Brighton picked up that win against West Ham last week. It ended a poor run of form. Not sure how much we can take from that victory.
Yeah, it's difficult. They just about got out of jail and have managed to hang on in there in the race for 8th. haven't they? But yeah, the form before that was patchy, to say the least. The good news for them is they seem to enjoy facing Newcastle this season. They've won both previous meetings, one in the league at St. James's Park and one back in the North East in the FA Cup, which was a really entertaining game that did go to extra time. I think it's got all the ingredients to be an open contest with plenty of goals. I'm going for over 3.5 in the game. That has been a winning bet in each of Brighton's last three games and in three of Newcastle's last four. And if you look at Newcastle's last five fixtures, that they've all been pretty high scoring. They've beaten Leicester 3-0, beaten Manchester United 4-1, thrashed Crystal Palace 5-0, then lost 4-1. They're only defeating that run in their last away game at Aston Villa before winning 3-0 against Ipswich last weekend. So they're scoring goals. The away game at Villa suggests they're conceding goals. We know Brighton are an entertaining and enterprising side. So yeah, this is possibly, from a neutral point of view, the game to watch of the weekend for me.
Would you be a bit concerned, Mark, by that heavy defeat at Villa last time out for Newcastle on the road?
Not too much. No, I think that it was been a busy time, wasn't it? Was it the third game in 6 days or the third in 7 days? Something like that. And they kept on playing the same team. Eddie Howe wasn't there. I think that will have an impact eventually. So I wouldn't be overly concerned by that. I always feel that Newcastle are one of them teams that make the most of home advantage. Maybe not against Brighton this season, but generally speaking, you're more fearful of playing them at St. James's than what you are when they're on their travels. I think this is a close game, as the betting suggests. Just edge towards Brighton, draw, no bet. If you have a look at sort of what they've done at home against the bigger teams, beat Man City, they've beaten Chelsea twice. They drew with Arsenal at the Amex. I think Brighton's biggest problem is when they come up against teams with a low block, but Newcastle don't tend to play like that. So I agree with Tom. I think it'll be an open game. And I just felt at sort of 11 to 10, Brighton draw, no bet was the preference.
Okay, the third and final 2 o'clock game on Sunday is at the London Stadium as West Ham take on Tottenham. The Hammers 6-5, Tottenham 2-1, and the draw 13-5. How do you see this one, Mark? Bearing in mind, obviously, as you say, we're speaking before Tottenham's Europa League semi-final first leg.
Yes, I mean, here I'm going for West Ham to win. I sort of referenced Man United 4-1 at Brentford. If that's the right price, I can't see really why Tottenham 2-1 only to win at West Ham. Going to make wholesale changes. They've got a long trip to the Arctic Circle on Thursday to play the second leg against Bodo Glimt. Like, if Van de Ven and Romero don't play, as they didn't at Liverpool, we saw the end outcome. The Spurs seemed happy enough to lose 5-1. This is a team that conceded 4 at Wolves recently. Shambolic defensively, lost 19 Premier League games. I've been critical of West Ham in recent weeks and sort of Graham Potter not moving them on as much as what I sort of thought he would. But they did play okay at Brighton and definitely deserve something out of the game. And, on another day, might even have won it. Fully motivated to beat their kind of London rivals. Yeah, West Ham to win.
Tom, what do you think of this one?
Yeah, I understand the avenue Mark's going down, but I just find it hard to back West Ham with any kind of conviction. So again, I've gone for goals over 3.5 in the game. As mentioned, West Ham were maybe unlucky not to get anything from that game against Brighton last week. 5 goals scored across the piece. 2 of the last 4 games they've been involved in have had over 3.5 goals. So they've got goals in them, but defensively they're struggling. We know Spurs defensively are all over the place. They've been all over the place all season. So entertaining game for me, this one that could have plenty of goals, because mainly these two sides are poor defensively and out of form, not because they're firing on all cylinders. And yeah, if I had to pick a winner, I probably would go for West Ham as well, but I'm sticking with the goals market. There were 5 scored when they met early in the season, when Spurs won 4-1 at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. So maybe we'll get a similar amount of goals in this one, but probably a tighter contest.
One more game to look forward to in the Premier League. It's on Monday night when Crystal Palace play host to Nottingham Forest at Selhurst Park. Palace 5-4, Forest 15-8, and the draw 21-10. This could have been the FA Cup final rehearsal if things had gone better for Forest at Wembley, Tom. But will it come away with anything to show from this?
A point is what I'm going for. I think it'll finish all square between these two sides. Forest, of course, playing against Brentford on Thursday night, but just for me, they might prove me wrong by winning against Brentford, but they just feel like they're running out of steam a little bit. It's been three defeats in their last four games across all competitions. They were really poor in the first half, froze a little bit really in that FA Cup semi-final against Manchester City, did improve a lot in the second period and showed plenty of character on another day. Had one of those efforts gone in that hit the woodwork in the second half, they might have got themselves right back into the game. But yeah, just stuttering over the line, it would seem, up against a Palace side who themselves will have one eye on the cup final, have drawn the last two games in the Premier League, Palace. And the draw has been a regular occurrence when these two sides have met of late. Five of the last seven have finished all square. The only two exceptions in that were both 1-0 victories for Forest, but both of those came at the City ground. So very hard to separate at Selhurst Park. When I look at this fixture, it just screams to me 1-1. But yeah, I'm going for the draw.
Are you as concerned, Mark, about Forest as Thomas?
Maybe not quite so much. I mean, they've got some favourable fixtures coming up, offers them the opportunity to get into those Champions League places. I feel like there's less pressure on them than some of the other teams going for that top five. Second half performance against City will have, I think, left them sort of probably leaving with regrets at Wembley because of what had happened in the first half, as Tom said, just didn't really turn up. They did have some injuries defensively that ended up with kind of, you know, maybe in the fullback positions, not first choice, I think it's fair to say, in those areas. A lot will depend on what happens on Thursday, so it is a hard one to preview this. I'm going to go for both teams to score. Nottingham Forest have only kept one away league clean sheet in 2025, which surprised me, given that this is a team that's sort of notorious for its defending. But I do like them on the attack, and I think Nuno made a mistake not playing Elanga against City. He's a big threat. Gibbs White is absolute class. And, you know, Palace are playing with this freedom at the moment, and, you know, their front three are causing a lot of teams problems. So Palace v Forest doesn't scream classic, but I think it might be a decent watch, this one.
Yep. Well, that is the Premier League complete then for this weekend. Up next is the EFL.
Do you want football free bets? All the best offers from your favourite bookmakers can be found in one place. Check out racingpost.com/free-bets to find out more. Racing Post, stay ahead of the field.
Well, this week's EFL match in focus is in the Championship, and it's a big game at Turf Moor at 12:30 on Saturday. Burnley against Millwall. Burnley, of course, fighting for the title with Leeds United. Millwall trying to sneak into the playoff places. Burnley 8-13 to claim the win. It's 19-4. The Lions, and 27-10, the draw. Big game for both teams here. Tom, how do you see this one going?
Yeah, it is a huge game. I'm going for what the result, if you like, that seems to come every week when Burnley are involved. They're going for Burnley to win 2-0. It's odds against, so it offers decent value. I mean, Burnley showed with that 5-0 victory against Queen's Park Rangers last weekend that they're still focused. They want the title, and with Leeds going away to Plymouth on the final day, not guaranteed to get a result, Burnley will hope that they can do enough by winning this game to clinch the title on the final day. They're also going for the EFL record for clean sheets in a season. They're currently level with Port Vale from the 1950s in the third tier. Both got 30 clean sheets for the campaign, so they'll want 31. James Trafford in the Burnley goal in particular. And although Millwall are pushing to get in the playoffs, and, you know, they've been in really good form and in five of their last six, they've actually lost three of their previous four away. They're not great travellers, failing to score in two of those games. So I think they'll fall short in this match and in their pursuit of the playoffs. For Burnley, they might need this 1-0, 2-0, and that could be enough, depending on the result at Home Park, to hand them the title.
Tom, come on. Us Leeds backers do not want to be hearing stuff like that. Come on, Millwall.
Well, just to confirm, Leeds certainly do need to better what Leeds do, don't they, to win the title, Mark? And you know, as much as Plymouth are desperate for, I think Leeds are obviously desperate to get another title to their name.
Yeah, I mean, Plymouth are virtually down. I mean, mathematically, they've still got a chance, but the goal difference is, absurd. So, yeah, come on, Leeds, get the job done.
Should say as well, by the way, Millwall level on points with Coventry, but the Sky Blues do have a 4-goal better goal difference, which gives them a strong position going in to the weekend. Time now, as it is, the EFL final games of the regular season to get Tom's three EFL selections. And where are we starting off first, Tom?
Yeah, we're starting with Coventry to beat Middlesbrough, another of the playoff contenders on home soil. That should be enough to get Coventry into the top six. As you say, they're level on points with Millwall, but there need to be a series of events that includes probably Millwall winning 5-0 at Burnley, which I don't think is going to happen. So if Coventry win their game, they should be in the playoffs. And although they've lost their last two, both of those defeats were on the road and their home record remains strong. They've won six of their last seven at the CBS Arena. The only defeat was to Burnley during that time, so you can probably set aside that. They've also unbeaten in the last seven meetings with Middlesbrough, whose own playoff push for me, it's faded badly over recent weeks. One win in five. They've only won twice on the road since New Year's Day. So for me, the momentum is still with Coventry, and I think they'll win this and end up in the top six.
Okay, so Coventry's pick number one. Who's selection number two?
Yeah, sticking with the Championship, and I'm going with Luton to win on the road at West Brom, which, you know, would be enough to keep Luton in the league. They've won three on the bounce, the Hatters. They've left it really late, but they've finally clicked into gear, and they should have enough to win this match and confirm their safety. They've actually been pretty good for a while, Luton, consistent. They've only lost one of their last nine, and they've taken 10 points from the last four away fixtures. So I think they'll beat West Brom. West Brom, nothing to play for. They've sat Tony Mowbray. One win in nine has seen them fall completely away from the playoff picture. So Luton, the value pick there.
So Coventry and Luton in the Championship. Are we sticking with the second tier, Tom, or are we dropping into Leagues One or Two?
Dropping into League One, where the final playoff place is the only thing really up for grabs meaningfully in the third tier on Saturday. But I'm going to back Reading, who are just outside the top six behind Leighton Orient on goal difference, to beat Barnsley on home soil. They've won their last two, Reading, beating Mansfield 5-1 and Bristol Rovers 2-0. And they're taking on a Barnsley side that are completely on the beach, if you like. They've won just one of their last 11 games. They lost at home to bottom of the table, long since relegated, Shrewsbury last time out. Conor Hourihan, who's the new man in charge at Barnsley, or relatively new man in charge, struggling to get a tune out of his side. And yeah, for me, Reading, with incentive, can win this game. Might not be enough, though, for them with Leighton Orient playing at Huddersfield.
Okay, just to confirm that Tom's three EFL selections are Coventry, Luton and Reading. And up next, it's Mark's Bet Builder. And Mark, I think we are going to Villa Park for the clash between Villa and Fulham.
Yeah, I wanted to pick a game where there was sort of a lot riding on it, because there's a lot of kind of dead rubbers really in the Premier League this weekend. So I'm going for Aston Villa to beat Fulham. The midweek breather will have done them good. Been on the go, Villa, you know, FA Cup semi-finals, Champions League quarterfinals, and maybe that trip to Wembley was just one game too far for them. You know, week to clear their heads. Very good at home, so hopefully they can beat Fulham. Goals are almost guaranteed in Aston Villa games at the moment. Over 2.5 has landed in 14 of their last 16 games, so hopefully that can become 15 of 17. And one of the inspirations behind their attacking threat is Morgan Rodgers. Had a sensational season. I absolutely love watching him play, particularly when it's through the middle, but can go out wide as well. I'm going for him to have over 1.5 shots on target in the game. He's had 5 shots on target in his last two home matches, and that Bet Builder will pay double figures, around about 11-1.
Okay, well, the prop shop Mark brings us each week as well is from a different Premier League game this week. I think we're looking at Man City Wolves here, Mark.
Yeah, I think the player of the match in the FA Cup semi-final, Kovacic, was outstanding in midfield for City on the day. He's 6-4 to have a shot on target against Wolves. Had a look at sort of his recent stats and noticed he'd been sort of venturing forward maybe a touch more than he sometimes would. Maybe even a little bit more than Pep Guardiola would like him to. But he's had 5 shots on target in his last 3 starts. And he also had one on target in that cameo role at Everton, when he only came on for like the last 15 minutes. So, Kovacic shot on target.
Okay, we'll move on now to the assist treble this week. Tom, we'll start with your selection first.
Yeah, I've gone with the one I mentioned on the EFL selections, Reading to win at home against Barnsley. They're odds on to win Reading, and for good reason, as I alluded to. So part of a treble, I think it offers really good value. I mean, Barnsley, disappointing, underwhelming season for them. They're going to have to rebuild in the summer. But for Reading, still plenty to play for. Maybe, just maybe, if they win this, they can get themselves into the playoffs.
So it's Reading for Tom. Who's your pick here, Mark?
I'm going for over 2.5 goals in the big one in League Two, Notts County against Doncaster. Expect it to be wide open. Both teams probably need to win. Doncaster for the title with Port Vale breathing down their necks. And Notts County have got a chance of automatic if Bradford and Walsall blow it, as both have sort of looked like they're going to in recent weeks. Also, look at Notts County. They are sort of going for it. In their games. There's been 12 goals in their last four matches. There were 15 shots on target in their match against Harrogate last week. So hopefully more of the same. And for my anti-post, hopefully Doncaster wins. So I'm a Leeds and Donny all over this weekend.
He's an adopted Yorkshireman this weekend, is Mark Langdon. My selection is going to be in Yorkshire, funnily enough. And I'm going to go with Sheffield United to beat Blackburn at 5-4. Now, the Blades, of course, have already sealed their place in the playoffs, but I do feel that they'll want to get some momentum going in to the playoffs. And I was just wondering last week how they might feel having lost out on those automatic promotion spots. And they were really impressive in the win at Stoke. And I do think that they'll carry that on against Blackburn, who have improved in fairness and have won their last two on the road. But you look at the bigger picture, 24 points separate these two sides. Sheffield United won the last five meetings against Blackburn at Bramall Lane, and they won 2-0 at Ewood Park in November. And I just think at 5-4 at home, on home soil, at Chris Wilder's men can pick up the victory. So we're going with Reading, over 2.5 goals in Notts County, Doncaster and Sheffield United as the assist treble. And we'll conclude this week's show with the naps of Mark and Tom. And Mark, we'll start with your nap first.
Yeah, West Ham to beat Tottenham. Motivation, no issue for the Hammers. Yeah, they absolutely hate Tottenham, so they'll want to, A, beat them, B, finish above them for this season. Tottenham, terrible away from home, lost 8 of the last 10. They've got the trip to the Arctic Circle on Thursday for that clash with Bodo Glimt in the Europa League. And, I thought they'd be a sort of bigger outsiders at the London Stadium.
OK, so Mark's going with West Ham. Tom, who's your nap?
Yeah, we're right at the end of the season, and I think this will be a first for the campaign, but I'm leaning to Southampton, draw no bet against Leicester. Signs of life for Southampton at the end of the campaign, and Leicester's home record, the fact they can't score a goal at the King Power Stadium, never mind get a point. I mean, Southampton aren't going to get a better opportunity in the remainder of the campaign to go beyond a Derby's low points total. And yeah, I think they'll get the job done in this one.
It could be a weekend to remember for Southampton fans. It's been a while since we've said that. Anyway, thanks very much to Mark and Tom for all their efforts this week. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment to the Racing Post YouTube channel. Let us know your thoughts on the weekend ahead and what's to come still in terms of the domestic football. And if you like your golf, of course, don't forget to join Steve Palmer and Dave Clark every Tuesday with the sweet spot. In the meantime, enjoy your football this weekend and please remember to gamble responsibly.